On this sixth Sunday of ordinary time, we're working our way through year C. There's three cycles of readings, A, B, and C, and we're in that year C cycle of readings. And so working through the Gospel of Luke. And in our Gospel of Luke today, we are presented with Luke's telling of the Beatitudes. I think most of us are more familiar, I would say, with Matthew's Beatitudes. Matthew has the eight Beatitudes, and that's where we hear them most often. That's what we hear, is that Matthew's eight Beatitudes. As a matter of fact, the stained glass windows in our church are Matthew's eight Beatitudes. If you notice the eight stained glass windows throughout, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are they who mourn, they shall be comforted. So Matthew gives us those eight, whereas Luke, in today's gospel, he gives us four Beatitudes, and then he gives us something that Matthew kind of skips altogether, the four woes, okay? Or I guess the four curses is another way of understanding it. Beatitude, it's the same word where we get the word bless, blessing, blessed. It means happy. There's a happiness, a beatitude, a fullness of joy that comes with a blessing. But the woes, it's the same kind of, you know, woe or sorrow, sadness. Or in some translations, especially in the Old Testament, it's understood to be a curse. So, again, like you've heard me say a thousand times already, look at the first reading and see how it corresponds to the gospel to see what's the lens that the church is asking us to read the gospel through. So let's get back to Jeremiah today. The first line of Jeremiah in that first reading today, thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings. That's a strong sentence. Cursed is the one who trusts in human beings. Why is that the case? Cursed meaning sad. Cursed meaning like not, it's the opposite of blessing, the opposite of happiness. There's a curse that's upon someone who places their trust in human beings. Why? Because we fail. Because we're imperfect, because ultimately we don't last forever. And then, so skip down a couple more verses in Jeremiah. He starts with the curse, but then he switches to, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. So there Jeremiah is kind of setting out for us a blessing and a curse. Now, this isn't the only place in the Old Testament where we see this. There's actually multiple different places where blessings and curses are laid out. The first curse that we come across in the Bible, Cain. When Cain kills his brother Abel, he's cursed. There's a curse that's put upon him. Actually, I guess even previous to that, the land is cursed when Adam and Eve fall. The fruit, the result of the fall, is thorns and thistles, labor and sweat. By the sweat of your brow will you have the food that you eat. The brokenness of the beauty of the garden, there's a curse that is implied upon it. Now, here's the thing. The curses are not necessarily imposed from the outside as a punishment per se. It's more of just the natural consequence of the thing itself. If you look at it, it's like, you know, you step on a thorn and there's a wound, a hole that comes with that. When we step on sin, so to speak, there's a natural wounding that occurs. That's what even the Old Testament, but also Jesus is reiterating here. And then the other one, the kind of the big one in the eyes of Israel, you go to Deuteronomy. When Moses gives the people the law, it's a big deal in Deuteronomy. And Moses tells the people, let this be as a, put it on your forehead, a sign on your forehead, put it on your arm. He's literally, drill this into your children. Speak of it at home or whether you're abroad, at night, when you're laying on your bed, or during the day. Constantly let the law of the Lord be on your heart. This is the great Shema of Israel. This is their national identity. And then he's after those verses where he kind of lays that out, then he says, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. You can follow the law of the Lord and be blessed, Or you can step outside and do your own thing, and there's a curse that comes with it. So again, Jesus is it's just a reiteration of what's already been said, but just a kind of a reminder. Blessings and curses. So, you look at, blessed are those who are hungry, blessed are those who are weeping, or curses the one who is rich, curses the one who has consolation. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with being filled? What's wrong with having consolation? I think that's why the church gave us Deuteronomy. It has to do with the curse of Jeremiah. Curse is the one who trusts in human beings. Blessed is the one who hopes in the Lord or trusts in the Lord. It has to do with where we place our trust. When Jesus said it's, you know, impossible for, or not impossible, but it's easier for one to, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of the needle than one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. In other words, riches has its own kind of curse, its own potential kind of curse when we place our trust in riches. When we place our trust in man, when we step aside from trusting the Lord and we look to man, we look to our own abilities, we look to our own power, our own determination, our own willfulness, that bears its own kind of curse. Now, there's another kind of curse, I think, that we look at, and I've talked about it before in terms of parents for their kids on Father's Day. Like, there is a legitimate, going through the Old Testament, there's a legitimate blessing that parents or those in authority have to offer to their children or those under their authority. Parents can bless their children. Blessed are those who are poor. Blessed are those who are happy are those who are poor. Now, parents, the way you bless your children and the way you curse your children are similar, and it's not that you hire a witch doctor or something like that when we talk about curses, but it's how you speak to your children, the example by which you give them. If what Moses said in Deuteronomy, today I lay before you a blessing and a curse, follow the law of the Lord and be blessed, or step outside the law of the Lord and be cursed. What he is essentially doing is saying, guys, here are the parameters. You stay within this and we're good. That's safety. There's safety within with the law of the Lord, the way of the Lord, the path of the Lord. And so when parents bless their children, they lead by example saying, here is the law of the Lord. Here is the path of righteousness. And I am going to show you, I'm going to instruct you by my own example. Even when it's difficult, here is a path of holiness. And so when parents, by their own example, model that, they are blessing their children. Even if they don't necessarily think of it explicitly in those terms, but it is a blessing. And you can see a family, you see families who have a well-ordered life, who really try to seek the Lord, who try to keep that in how they hand on and what they do, and you can see the blessing of fruitfulness, happy, healthy children. There's a freedom of kids who have are from happy, healthy homes. And it's like, in some ways, it's like, I don't know, bowling with the bumper guards up, you know? You might not get a strike, but you're not going to get a gutter ball either. But then there's stepping outside of that and the way that we can curse our children, the way we can lead them down a path of unhappiness. Woe to those. When we lead by example, showing our kids, these are the things that are important. These are the things that are our priorities. These are the things that, when we seek those treasures or riches, or when we teach our kids that sports are the most important thing and that all else bows to our sports. We teach our kids that the law of the Lord, going to Mass on Sunday, it's optional.
If we don't feel like it, it's not that big of a deal, right? Without knowing it, again, it's not like there's a witch doctor involved, but we hand a curse to our children because we are teaching them to be outside of the path of happiness. And you can take that to an absolute extreme. You can see that, and you take it to an extreme of some sort of an addict or addictions. You can see it in terms of, you know, the heroin addict. Cursed is the one who follows not the law of the Lord, who places his hope in men. And it's maybe easy to see in the example of somebody who's just is no longer able to say no, and they lose everything and they're living under the bridge type example. You can see the manifestation of a curse in that person's life. But it's a lot more subtle. It's a lot more hidden in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, when it's something that's just below the surface. And so I think that's one of the challenges for us, especially as parents, especially those who are in charge of innocent souls, that we mark out that path, that we make clear in our example, in our words, like, here's the path of the Lord. This is the path that we follow. It truly is the path that leads to happiness. Sometimes it's not happy in the moment when we have to deny ourselves something that seems like it would be really good, but it is the path to ultimate beatitude. You see the person who, again, maybe you take the drug addict example where in that particular moment for the however long that they have the buzz, there's a happiness there, but you can see that's not the path to ultimate happiness. And so I think it's just, once again, worth asking that question, like, how am I blessing my children in my words? Do I tell them that I'm proud of them? Do I tell them that I'm grateful that the Lord gave them to me? Or are there ways that just I place a curse upon them without realizing it? Again, our words can have weight and power. You know, when a parent says, you will never amount to anything. I wish you were more like your brother. I wish you were somebody else. There's a curse that is taken up into the soul of a young, especially young children, when they feel that they are not being blessed. And so, just a reminder, I think, as we look at these Beatitudes, we look at blessed are the poor, and it's kind of this inversion of the way we typically, we look at celebrities or millionaires or rock stars and look at how happy they are. They're millionaires. They're living the lifestyle of that everyone like holds up as like this is the model. Can you see the curse in that? Versus the poor husband and wife that have enough most of the time to make ends meet, but they're struggling and live in a tiny house, but they have a family that and children that know that they are loved. Where's the blessing and where's the curse? I think that's what we need to reevaluate on a regular basis, because it's so tempting to get sucked into the world. So often we miss the blessings in front of us. And we crave or yearn after those things that actually are not really blessings. May we, by word and example, truly seek to acknowledge our blessings and to bless our children and our grandchildren by our witness and example.